Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who does his own stunts, Pete Chwaba.
Hey, Wisconsin. What do you say? Wednesday night here in our beautiful state, our beautiful summertime state. It makes me want to sing barbershop quartet tunes. Not really. But that's the first thing that comes to mind. A lot of barbershop quartet tunes deal with summer. It just gives an ambiance to our evenings. Conrad, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Doing great.
Okay. I recovered fully from the lightning strike.
Well, it's been 2 days now. That is industry standard, I think, for recovering from such a strike.
Yep. It's all good now.
And you, I trust you learned a lesson?
Yeah, I don't think I'll go swimming again when there's a thunderstorm. Yeah, I just don't think I can do it anymore.
You know what would have been great is if you said, yeah, I'm definitely not going swimming anymore when it's National Lightning Awareness Week. Like, that was the problem. The fact that the week, not that it was lightning.
Any other week, it's fine. It won't strike me.
Exactly. You ready to take some texts tonight?
Of course.
I think I'm going to kind of go negative with tonight's question. So I hope people are responsive to this. People statewide, that is, because that's where we're broadcasting to. We are on over the whole state, and that feels great. And we're broadcasting from downtown Green Bay here at WGBW. And, you know, my tendency is to, I'm a pretty positive guy. But tonight, I'm going in a different direction. I'm going to pivot. And I'm going to ask the question because tonight at 8:35, we have a guest on. Brian Stille will be here. He is the Outagamie County Fair Manager. The Outagamie County Fair kicks off today, goes through the weekend. And Brian will be on to answer our questions. But my question tonight is, I'm kind of, I'm not a crowd guy anymore. So the thought of going to a fair doesn't like get me excited. And I feel bad about that. I don't know if it's I'm getting older or what, but the question tonight is, what's the worst thing about summer festivals? Let's complain a little bit tonight on Nightlight. We don't just always have to like bang the drum and be positive. What's the worst thing about summer festivals? Be they county fairs, you know, music festivals, whatever. Wherever you go where there are tons of people in the hot sun, what is the worst thing about that? That's tonight's question, 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Let me know and let's have some fun. Let's complain together. I think that's what truly brings people together. Movies, TV, sports, music, and complaining. So let's do it together and let's have some fun. We don't always have to be positive. Conrad, do you have an answer for that?
It's got to be the prices.
Prices. Interesting.
Like if I want a lemonade.
Okay.
And you're telling me, yeah, hey, it's $16. I'm going to buy it and throw it back in their face.
Well, that's even money worse spent. At least drink it. Drink it and then throw the ice at them.
There we go.
So if you're going to get arrested, at least you'll be well hydrated.
You know, the food is expensive too as well, not just the drinks. So it's got to just... mainly prices for me.
Yeah. That's a good one. I'm going to say smelly people. And you know, some people should not wear tank tops. And I'm talking about the men. Because you get like that sweaty armpit stuff going, and then they're just baking in their own juices for hours, and you're stuck behind them in line, and it's awful.
You know, you can just bring some deodorant with.
And offer it to them?
Or I'm just saying, you can just...
reapply?
If it's hot outside, and you think, yeah, I could sweat, maybe just bring some deodorant with you.
Bring a shirt that covers your armpits. You don't have to flaunt that. Here's my rule of thumb. I don't present myself in a way to other people that I wouldn't want to look at myself. Like, if I don't like the state of my stomach or hairy armpits or whatever, I don't make other people look at it. And that's me. I'm a giver. I don't like to upset people. So I'm not wearing a half shirt. I'm not wearing a tube top to the state fair.
Why not?
Because I love people. I wouldn't subject people to that. I can't believe some of the stuff people wear. Whether it's like flip-flops and you have like these Frodo feet, or, you know, a shirt that's too tight with like, I don't know. I just wouldn't do it.
Or the people that go the other route and wear like a sweatshirt and jeans.
And that's better.
96 degrees.
That's out. Better. Because you know what? That only affects them. And if they want to wear that, I'm fine with that. And I would rather wear that than like, part of it is my own vanity. Like I wouldn't want, you know, I don't want people to see my shortcomings as a physical specimen. So I wouldn't show it. If I'm not comfortable looking at it on myself, I'm not going to subject other people to it. That's just me. I was raised Catholic. Maybe you feel differently. But that's a good one. Yeah, cost is one. Smelly people, sweaty people. That's my thing. And it's worse when you have to like, when someone's in line and they cut behind you or move or whatever, and they rub against you and you get someone else's sweat all over your arm. That's the worst thing about summer festivals to me. I can't do it. So feel free to share yours. Let's go negative. I'm way too excited to be going negative tonight. Stacy Sue says, hi, Pete and Conrad. Hey, Stacy Sue. She says, people spilling beer on you. Yeah, that's a good one. Obnoxiously drunk people. That's another one. Oh my gosh. I was in Vegas once with my wife, and there was a guy so hammered at an outdoor festival, and the stuff he was saying to women, I almost wanted to beat him up myself. And I'm like, well, that's not going to do anything. Cause then I assume at some point he got arrested for disorderly conduct. He wasn't touching, but he was like saying stuff that he thought was funny and it was just awful. So yeah, obnoxiously drunk people. That's another one. And that's tough too. When, you know, cause at state fairs and county fairs, there's a lot of families there. You can't behave like that. She says, people that all have all their fat hanging out. Yes, that's exactly when at a concert, someone too big for the seat and they take up my seat. Oh, dear. That's horrible. Those are great answers. And Conrad says, too much money. I say sweaty people, especially when they brush up against you. Not a fan. Not a fan. Sherry says, hi, Pete and Conrad. I'm glad you're feeling better. Oh, that's sweet.
Conrad, thank you, Sherry.
He's almost fully healed. He's got a little singe mark on his brow.
I'm looking like Harry Potter right now.
Sherry says, eating something that makes you sick. Also the cost. Another cost thing, yeah. And undercooked food out in the sun. You ever go to order food at like a county fair or state fair and you see flies landing on it? Like when the people cooking the food aren't yeah. paying attention and it's like, wow, I don't think I can eat that, you know?
Or when they have condiments on the side and they have like relish.
Just sitting
or,
out there, yeah.
And then you will see flies just all trying to eat
that's
it.
That's awful. Yeah. Anna, that's a great one, Anna, from the 608. She says, having to use a porta potty. That is awful. There might come a time in history when you look back on the porta potty and go, wow, we really did that? It was just a hole with waste in it? I know most women don't even, you know, sit down on them. They just sort of squat, and I don't blame them. That's a great one, Anna. Jim from Appleton in the 920 says, restroom availability. Never enough porta potties. Talk about stink. And then an emoji I have never seen before. That's a good one. That's a good one, Jim. So we seem to be focusing in on costs, lack of proper bathrooms. And I'm hung up on, Stacy backed me a little bit on the people showing body parts that shouldn't be shown. Great start. Keep them coming, folks. What's the worst thing about county or state fairs, outdoor festivals in the summer, whatever it is? This is your chance to complain. Let's complain together and let's bond. Got a great show tonight at 7:35. Very excited to welcome this guest. He'll join me, Peter Jest. He's the author of We Had Fun and Nobody Died. This is a great, there's more to it, actually. We Had Fun and Nobody Died, The Adventures of a Milwaukee Music Promoter. So I have a ton of questions for Peter because you know, as someone who I worked in a lot of nightclubs when I was younger doing stand-up, and I have so many questions for him. I'm as fascinated by his life as a music promoter as I am by his book and what it took to get through writing a book, because that must have been something else. But we'll talk to Peter at 7:35. That'll be a fun talk, and we'll tell you how you can get his really cool and insightful book. And then, like I said, at 8:35, Brian Stille will be with us. He is the Outagamie County Fair Manager. And you saw a movie last night you told me about, Conrad.
Yeah, yeah.
I did not see this coming. What? Tell us about it.
I was just looking, and I was on Hulu, and I was like, Flaming Hot. Seems interesting. Looked into it a little bit. And it's
thought it was a movie about spring break. I am so there.
It's about the creation of Flaming Hot Cheetos out of Frito-Lay, and Eva Longoria directed it.
That is crazy.
It was a really good movie.
A documentary?
It's close to that what happens.
Okay.
But it's not a documentary. It's like Unfrosted, but just not as stupid.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it somewhat factual or?
Yeah, no, the guy who created the Flamin' Hot Cheetos was actually a janitor at a Frito-Lay branch. And
he spilled the vomit chemicals into the Cheetos and created a new chip.
When the economy went down, Frito-Lay sales were down. They're like, how can we get our sales back up? And he created what is on a Flamin' Hot Cheeto.
What do you mean he created? Like he went home to his kitchen and started mixing stuff together?
Well, his wife did. His wife was a good cook. And they created something that was more spicy for their heritage.
Are they loaded now?
I looked at his net worth actually, and it's $15 million.
Just for creating a flavor that.
Well, he also got a promotion, a really nice one.
He's like the head janitor now.
He was the head of multicultural marketing.
Oh, I thought you said he was like a maintenance man or something.
He was. Oh. And then he got promoted after that.
That is nuts. All right. We also have a special guest coming up later. We'll tell you about that too. But right now, what do we want to do? All right. We'll talk Flaming Cheetos. We'll talk that. All right. We'll talk Nick Offerman. It's Nick Offerman's birthday. We got some funny clips coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. So our question tonight is, what's the worst thing about summer festivals? State fairs, county fairs, music festivals, craft festivals, street fair, whatever. You have an open floor to complain, folks. Your dime, your dance floor. So I want to clarify. Okay, so Flamin' Hot, here's what it says on Rotten Tomatoes. It got an audience score of 87% liked it. Critics, 69% liked it. It says Flamin' Hot is the inspiring true story of Richard Montañez, who, as a Frito-Lay janitor, disrupted the food industry by channeling his Mexican-American heritage to turn Flamin' Hot Cheetos from a snack into an iconic global pop culture phenomenon.
He got the idea actually taking his kids out to get corn with like butter and then like the spicy stuff on it. And then he looks around the park where he's at. Everyone's putting spicy on everything they're eating. And then it's like a light bulb that goes off.
So how do you take a flavor? So did he like go into Cheetos and say, I've got a pitch?
I know I'm
the janitor here, but hear me out.
So what?
That's crazy.
What happened is he went over his boss at that branch, looked for the phone number of the CEO, and called him.
I love this story. I barely believe it.
It completely true. From what I have read after it, I was like, I got to see what's actually true in this, and most of it holds up.
Did he patent the formula or the sauce or whatever that you put on the Cheetos to make them flaming hot?
That I did not see if you did that. But if you do notice, there's so many things with under PepsiCo that are just flaming hot. Like, they even made Mountain Dew flaming hot.
That I don't get at all.
That is disgusting. Don't ever try it. That sounds
terrible, yeah. Because I'd be worried, like, I'd go in and I'd say, hey, I know you don't know me. And I know I'm not a flavorologist, but I've got this idea. And then I'd pitch it and they go, oh, it's the damnedest thing. We have something just like that we already thought of. Like, what would have stopped them from doing that?
I guess this from the movie, the CEO really liked his drive.
I love that. He had. That's so great.
Because so the CEO made videos that he'd show to his employees.
Okay.
And like none of them would actually watch it. It's he watched it and the CEO was like, you watched my video?
Oh my gosh. So the CEO is kind of like this sad sack.
No, kind of, but
a good guy.
He's very
he sounds
good
like a
guy.
Great guy.
At the
That's
end of the
a
movie,
great story.
Yeah. Got him a promotion.
Now I feel bad we went negative with the question tonight. Life is good. People are good. Except people at state and county fairs. This will be fun. We can ask Brian Stille what he thinks about this. He's the Outagamie County Fair Manager. He'll be here at 8:35 because the Outagamie County Fair is in full swing. It kicks off tonight. Check it out if you're in the area here in Northeast Wisconsin. Peter Jest will be here, the author of We Had Fun and Nobody Died. Adventures of a Milwaukee Music Promoter. That'll be fun. He'll be along in just a few minutes. And then we have a special guest coming up at 8:20 to talk about the death of Spencer Milligan. This guest, I'm not going to say his name, but it rhymes with Mongino.
Nice.
That's such a bad... It's John Mino. He'll be here at 8:20. Co-host of the Mino in the Morning. I can't... There's too many M's in that. Mino and the Mayor in the Morning. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Mino and the Mayor.
Mino and the Mayor.
The highly successful, award-winning show... Here on WGBW and WISS, folks, I know you're listening to it already, but if you're not, check it out. They are so funny together. They have a great time. I love their energy in the morning is really perfect.
It's actually their year anniversary today.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. That's around when I met those guys. I was here for a meeting last summer and I was like, oh, these guys, I knew they were going to do great because they're both so likable and they're good together. You know, they got like a good yin and yang.
Definitely.
Kind of like me and Sydney Sweeney. I'm just throwing that out there.
Well.
Kind of the same chemistry.
Well.
What, is that inappropriate?
Well, I don't think that you guys have good chemistry.
You don't think so?
No.
You think she has a boyfriend?
I just don't think she likes you that much.
Yeah, well, what do you know? My mom thinks I'm cool. All right. So Carla from... Aunt Carla checking in. She says, I will say the bathroom situation, the lines and the amount of people using them, maybe people not washing their hands, but if you drink enough, you kind of put it out of your mind. Yeah, no kidding. That's a high price to pay, though, to forget that people aren't washing their hands after they use a porta potty. I guess the more you drink, the more you have to use the bathroom. And I do wash my hands a lot at these chaotic events. Well, that's good, Carla. So I'm going to say Carla, let's put Carla in the bathroom category too. That didn't sound right, but you know what I meant. Susie from Waukesha checks in and says, also, Peter owns Shank Hall, a major force in the Milwaukee area. That is correct. I will ask him all about Shank Hall. The name of Shank Hall came from a very cool place too, and we'll ask Peter about that. Thank you, Susie, and thanks for listening. She's in the 262. We don't get a lot of 262 activity, Conrad. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. Definitely. Newer number.
Let's work on that. I'm going to send Sydney Sweeney down there to do some legwork for us. She can help promote the show. From the 920, oh, Conrad's whole family checking in. I love it. It's like old times. Paula says it's usually very hot and not enough shade or anywhere to cool off. That is great. Yes. Also too many people. I agree. There's not nearly enough shade. And sometimes you have to go into a tent where they're playing like headbanging rock and roll or something if you want shade. And that's not cool either. Steve's Conrad's dad checking in says, trying to find a parking spot seems to be a challenge these days at festivals. Also, if you get parking close to the festival, you have to pay an arm and a leg. So cost, bathrooms, sweaty people. I'm going to say drinking, too. I forget who said it. Was it Jim from Appleton or Anna? It was Stacy.
It was Stacy.
Too many people drink. I mean, yeah. not just drink, but get hammered. It's like, that's why they're there.
And it's like, because they usually have like a concert at the end of the night. So they're drinking all day until that concert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like the whole crowd at the fair becomes the drunk person at the jukebox in the bar at 1 o'clock in the morning, just kind of doing that bad dance. They're feeling the music and they don't know how silly they look. So weigh in. This is a good one. We're getting a lot of people. See, we need to go negative more often. I think people like to complain by nature. I might be done being a positive guy. What's the worst thing about summer festivals, folks? Keep those texts coming. You can text us on the app. If you haven't downloaded the Civic Media app, I highly recommend it. It's very easy to use. Take it with you anywhere. We are on statewide, so there's a little icon right next to the call letters on every station. Click on that. Text us. Let us know. No matter what we're talking about, you can always weigh in, and you know that. Nightlight listeners never hold back, and I love it. So, coming up next on Nightlight, we're going to have some fun. We're going to talk about... This is so great. I'm excited because I love the music business and I love these kinds of guests because they have stories. And we're going to talk to Peter Jess next. He is the author of the book We Had Fun and Nobody Died, Adventures of a Milwaukee Music Promoter. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who travels so he can pretend he's on the lam, Pete Schwabba.
So tonight's question, what is the worst thing about summer festivals? We're going negative. Join the fun. We'll keep reading those texts, so keep them coming, folks. I'm very excited to welcome my next guest to Nightlight. He is a music promoter and the author of the new book, We Had Fun and Nobody Died, Adventures of a Milwaukee Music Promoter. Peter Jess joins me now on Nightlight. Hey, Peter.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. Congrats on the book.
Oh, thank you so much. There was, a lot of the credit goes to Amy Waldman, who mostly wrote it, but it's my story, so they gave me co-author. So,
oh, that even works better when you don't have to do the tedious stuff with grammar and stuff like that. That's even better.
Yeah, I never finished college, so I had to have a professional. So,
all right, well, there you go. That's a truly brilliant person understands their shortcomings and surrounds themselves with confident people, right? Or competent people.
That's right.
And you sound like you did pretty well for yourself in the music promoting game. Enough to write a book, certainly, which is cool. Let me ask you before we get into the book, what I'm kind of fascinated because that's just a profession I don't know a lot about. Like, I've met promoters. I used to do stand-up comedy, but never like big music promoters. That's a really cool thing. What led you to that profession?
Well, I really liked music. I had really bad asthma as a kid, so I couldn't do sports, and I only could find middle C on the piano. I wasn't musically inclined, but I love music. So, you know, I used to win contests all the time and win records, and so I'd be fascinated with music. And I really couldn't do anything else. My grades were terrible in anything, and I just sort of picked up on following concerts, and you know, became a runner and assistant for a local promoter. And when they went out of business, it was like, okay, either sink or swim. Now you got to try it yourself.
So. That's great, but how do you go about, like, let's say you have a space and you say, I want to book a band here. You go to the people that own the space, you go to the band. It seems like a ton of work.
Yeah, there's probably just really a dozen or maybe a dozen and a half agencies that have 90% of the touring acts. So you have to have some kind of reputation or in, because no one wants to sell a newcomer an act.
Right.
So it's very hard. And nowadays with Live Nation doing most of it, it's even harder.
Okay. That's interesting. All right. So when did you think you had enough stories to fill a book? What made you want to write the book? What got you over
really
the edge?
During the pandemic, I guess I took after my mother and saved everything from my 40 years of concert promotion, contracts, previews, reviews, and files. And I would post a few things on my Facebook page, like a contract for Pearl Jam for $500, a contract for Alanis Morissette for $500. And my friend Amy Waldman, who we weren't close friends, but, you know, a Facebook friend, said, "You should write a book." And I said, I can't write a book. She said, "Well, I'll write it." You know, she's a librarian, always wanted to write a book. And I had nothing else to do during the pandemic, so it sort of worked out. So
that's so great. So where can people find it?
It's out now. It's published by the Wisconsin Historical Society Press,
okay,
which is a great asset for us people in Wisconsin. They do a lot of good stuff for different Wisconsin stories. So, I mean, Amazon, you know, Barnes & Noble, the big stores have it, but, you know, it's every bookstore should have it. It's because the publisher does a good job of putting it in stores.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. So, all right. So you've got this book. You've got all this information. What would people read in the book and be surprised to see?
It's a lot of goofy. Well, one is that I went to UW-Milwaukee for 7 years and had a 1.8 grade point average with 23 credits. So I never graduated. I never really went. It's just sort of a bunch of fun stories from my time with the Violent Femmes, booking a lot of their shows, to John Prine, to a Sam Kinison show, to, you know, Adam West. The Red Hot Chili Peppers show in Green Bay, of course, was classic.
Tell me about
Riverside
that.
Riverside Ballroom, where they went on stage with nothing but socks, and the socks weren't on their feet, and the socks fell off, and the police raided the Riverside Ballroom. So that's a pretty classic story.
I do remember that. So when was that?
That was November of 89.
Oh, my gosh. And you booked that show, or you promoted it? You were the...
Yeah, I booked it. I co-promoted it. I wasn't going to that because I had a show here in Milwaukee, but I had the Chili Peppers the next night in Madison, so I was going to go there. But I sent two of my best friends up, and all of a sudden I get a call. You know, they're naked and running through a cornfield. I said, "What?" The police are chasing them. And, yeah, I mean, I think for Green Bay, that's probably one of the most historic shows is the Red Hot Chili Peppers and... November of 89.
That's so funny. I had no idea that was Green Bay. I mean, I remember reading about that, but or hearing about it, but that's great. So what are your favorite parts of the book, Peter?
I guess how people like John Prine and Arlo Guthrie, you know, became friends with me. They saw something in me, and we just got along like, you know, average people. And I've gone to, you know, baseball and hockey games with John Prine, and
just
how such creative people and I had something to become more than friends after a show. That meant a lot to me.
All right. I'm going to totally geek out now because I saw the John Prine thing in the book description. Tell me about John Prine. He died. He was one of the first COVID deaths, actually. And
yes,
I
happened to be emailing with his wife that day. I just checking how things are going, because I'm just taking John to the to the hospital now, and it was so sad. The last two dates I did with him were Madison and the Fox Cities PAC I did up there. It must have been May of 2019. And, you know, sometimes you're afraid to meet your heroes because you don't want them to be a jerk, but John Prine was exactly what you see, just a sweet, nice guy, and very quiet, you know, because he observed so much.
Yeah.
And that's where those songs came from. You know, he observed average daily people, and he came up with those great songs. But he was just the greatest guy. And, my mom would make him a cake for every show, and we just had a good time. He was really a special person.
You know, I love hearing that because I used to do stand-up comedy. I started in Chicago, and I was based out of there for years, right around the corner from the Old Town Ale House, where I understand he used to go all the time. And part of the fun for me to go there was to see my friends, but also hear stories about John Prine. And I just have never heard a bad word about the guy. So everything you're saying to me about one of my own musical heroes and favorite songwriters is just, this is worth it alone, you being on the show tonight. So thank you for that.
Oh, yeah. He really, you know, it's not, yes, he's passed and people say nice things about people, but I've never met a person that either does not like John Prine.
Yeah.
Or met him. I mean, I've never saw him angry. He was just your average guy that liked a beer and a hot dog at a baseball game. He really was the salt of the earth. I mean, he always on his birthday, he always went fishing with his buddies, and he would never play a concert his birthday weekend, no matter how much money it was. And he just had principles. You know,
oh, I love that.
No, I'm going to go fishing on my birthday. I mean, such an average guy.
Wow.
It was, but really the smartest guy in the room, just a genius that walked among us.
And you could tell that just if you, and I always thought, I know he's a good guy because of what he sings about and the way he writes. I could just tell that, you know what I mean? Like it comes across in his lyrics and the simplicity of his music, but there's a genius in that. He was just an absolute treasure.
And he's got that great smile and he loved performing. You know, some guys go out because they have to, or they want to make as much money as they can. John just loved performing. He only did weekends. He goes, I want to fly back home so I can take my kids and pick them up from school every day.
That's so great.
Just a dedicated father.
You've probably heard this. I saw this on a documentary somewhere that Steve Goodman and he were very good friends.
Yes.
And there's a story about Steve Goodman performing, maybe it was at the Old Town Ale House, I don't know, somewhere in Chicago. And Kris Kristofferson came by to see him because he had heard a lot about Steve Goodman. And Steve Goodman, you know, instead of just embracing the moment for himself, said, you really need to meet John Prine and hear his stuff. So John Prine came by and Kris Kristofferson helped them both out. I'm like, what a pal. You've got this great guy who has this life-changing moment and he includes his best friend in it. And they both benefited from it, which makes me also think Kris Kristofferson's a great guy.
Yeah, they went to New York together, him and Steve.
Yeah.
And then he met Kris Kristofferson, and Kris took him under his belt and hooked him up with someone from the record company, I believe it was.
So great.
But Steve Goodman was before my time. I mean, I think he passed in the early 80s.
Yeah.
But John sure loved him, and I met, I did a couple John shows in the Genesee Theater in Waukegan, and Steve Goodman's mother came. She always came to John shows when we did them in Northern Illinois, which is really sweet.
That says a lot about a guy, too, when your friend's mom shows up. But I mean, I just think that's great.
Everyone just really loved John. I mean, it was just, and I feel bad for people that never heard his music. They got something to pick up on later and, you know, coming up, I guess.
Exactly, right. My guest is Peter Jest. He is the one of the authors of We Had Fun and Nobody Died, Adventures of a Milwaukee Music Promoter. You can find it on Amazon, lots of different places, actual bookstores. Check it out. Can you tell me a little bit about, in the teaser for your book, Peter, you talk about you had to manage a turbulent band. Can you elaborate on that? Can you tell us who it was?
Well, it was more, that's a little deceiving. It's more tour manager. I tour managed Violent Femmes for like 2 months.
Oh, wow.
And I was like 20 years old at the time. So, you know, for a 20-year-old trying to manage a rock band on the road. but, you know, I've become friends with all the guys. I mean, Brian Ritchie and me just texted tonight. We're really good friends. And it was just like trying to manage three personalities when I'm like 20 years old was more the turbulent thing. And then some of the side guys were like twice my age. Go, you know, what's this 20-year-old guy being the tour manager? We got to listen to him, you know. So it was more the side guys that gave me a little bit of grief, but...
But you know what? It's interesting you say, well, I didn't finish college. I didn't have a good GPA. The intelligence and having to manage personalities, not everybody could do that, right? I mean, that is an art in and of itself.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things than being... one of the things why I want to do the book is I want, you know, maybe parents or someone to look at, you know, my kid, I have two brothers and a sister. They're doctor, nurse, and pharmacist, and they're on this rock promoter. Sometimes you get an oddball that just wants to do something different. And, you know, support them in it. You know, not everyone can be an academic.
Yeah. Well, I bet you have the best stories at the Thanksgiving table. So I'm sure they're thrilled you ended up doing what you did. can you tell us where Shank Hall gets its name from? I love this.
Well, back in 1984, the movie Spinal Tap came out. And my friend Dave Lurson, who does the foreword of the book, we sat in the movie theater, and, you know, it's a mockumentary, and yeah. we laughed so hard. And then in the movie, they played, like, fake venues. You know, it's a fake documentary. And one of them, when they played Milwaukee, it was Shank Hall. I said, oh, if I ever open a live music club, I got to call it Shank Hall, because it'll be really funny, and all the musicians will get it. And 5 years later, that's what I did. And we have a mini Stonehenge above the drummer, and... Yeah, it's and the guys in the band got a big kick out of it. You know, it's Michael McKean, Harry Shearer, Christopher Guest, and Rob Reiner. And I think they got a big kick that I took a 5-second bit out of the movie and made a music venue. In fact, Michael McKean, if you look at the book, reviewed it and loved it.
Yeah, I saw that he that's so great. That was that hard tracking him down? Probably not if you already knew him. But that's really cool.
Because they played the club on a press conference and they played WM and. Yeah, I had his manager's contact information, and, you know, I've only talked to him like twice in my life, and he's been so, you know, he's such a busy man, and he took time out to read the book and do a review, which I'm so honored.
How great. I love the scene in Spinal Tap where they're all upset about Small Stonehenge, and they're trying to figure out what to do, and Harry Shearer says, we need to change the choreography.
Right. And he says, does that mean we're not going to do Stonehenge tomorrow? Right, yeah.
I guess we
have an 18-inch Stonehenge and hang in the back of the venue.
Oh, I love that. We got to do a quick thing, Peter. Sit tight. I just have a few more questions for you. It's great to have you here. My guest is Peter Jest. He is the author of We Had Fun and Nobody Died, Adventures of a Milwaukee Music Promoter. We'll have more with Peter coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Since I met this little woman, I feel it's happened to me, and I'm telling you, it's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling in love. It's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling in love. I found myself owning her at least.
Welcome back. Peter Jest is my guest at the moment. His book, We Had Fun and Nobody Died, Adventures of a Milwaukee Music Promoter, is available now, and it looks like a phenomenal read. Peter has a very interesting story, and I'm sure the book is phenomenal. I can't wait to read it, Peter. It says also in the description of the book, it says you were stubborn and independent. When would you have had to be stubborn as a music promoter?
Well, when I started out, I was like 100 pounds, skinny kid with braces that, a good thing there weren't video calls then, because no one would ever do business with me. So it was more like people always kept telling me, no, you can't bring national acts to campus. No, you're too young to open a music club. No, you can't do that. And I just refused to take no for an answer.
Wow, good for you. That's to do that at that age is pretty remarkable.
I sort of figured that, you know, I'm 18 years old. I'm living in my parents' basement. If I made $2,000 a year, that'd be fine. You know, that's enough for beer and pizza.
Yeah.
You know, so the time to be risky was, you know, 18, 19, living at home yet, at my parents' home.
Absolutely. Do you have, there's the mechanics of putting a show together and lining up acts and venues and all that kind of stuff. You said you were a music lover earlier. Does being a music lover and passionate about music make you a better promoter somehow? Does that play into it?
I think it makes you appreciate more. Although one of the golden rules as a promoter is you never really want to book people you like, because it might be just you and your three friends at the show.
Oh, wow.
But I sort of throw that one out because I've liked the people I work with and sort of know how many tickets they're going to sell in that. But you just don't book the people you like, or... You know, you're going to find you and your three friends there. So,
what are some of your favorite bands that have come out of Milwaukee historically?
Well, the Violent Femmes, and I must mention that the name came from Brian Ritchie, the bass player of the Violent Femmes. When Amy asked him what it was like to have Peter Jest, a 20-year-old, be the road manager in 1985, he said, well, we had fun and no one died. So that's what the title, we said, well, that's great. That's the title of the book right there.
I love
that. That came from. But, you know, them and the Bodines have really, you know, from my era, really conquered the world. So.
Yeah. You know, I told this story recently on the show. I was in college at DePaul University in Chicago, and a friend of mine came to my room and said, we have an extra U2 ticket tonight. It was like 1988, the Rosemont Horizon, and the Bodines were the opening act. I got dragged to the best concert of my life because I loved U2, and I discovered the Bodines that night. I ended up making a movie years later, and Kurt Newman scored it and gave me some Bodine songs. So it was like this it was this beautiful serendipitous moment. And to this day, I'm a huge Bodines fan, and I love the sound, and I feel like it's very Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think I was at one of those shows, too. I think they did three nights at the Rosemont during that run or something, right? I think it was like, and yeah, they were very fortunate, the Bodines, to have the same booking agency as U2.
Oh, okay.
And they did a lot, you know, that really helped them, you know, around the country.
Yeah, they had just won like the album of the year or debut album of the year or something in Rolling Stone. And I was like, I couldn't believe the show that I saw that night for $20.
Right. That'd be the service charge today. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Other than Shank Hall, what are some of your favorite concert venues in Milwaukee?
Well, around this, I do a lot in the state. I mean, one of my favorites up there is the Meyer Theater.
Meyer Theater.
That's a great, you know, that's, yeah, I've done the Femmes there and Gordon Lightfoot and Justin Hayward from the Moody Blues. It's very well run. It's fun. I got a show coming up with the Widener. Wausau, the Grand Theater in Wausau is very good.
Wow.
The Barrymore Theater in Madison.
Love it.
The Opera House in Oshkosh. And then I do a few shows in Milwaukee, sometimes at the PAPS, sometimes the South Milwaukee Performing Arts Center. So, you know, I just try to fit the right band in the right place.
I'm a huge Gordon Lightfoot fan, too. That's pretty cool that you've had a chance to meet him.
Yeah, I did always the Myers Theater, and I did a lot of dates with him. And, yeah, it was really, he was good. You know, he was good friends with John Prine, so we got along really well, and I always caught hockey with Gordon Lightfoot, you know, so that was always fun.
There's a great video I found on YouTube one night shortly after John Prine died. He was performing, I think, in Montreal or somewhere in Canada. And Gordon Lightfoot, it was like this guy's living room, and they're all just sitting there listening. It was probably 20 people. And they cut to Gordon Lightfoot, and he just has tears streaming down his face while he's listening to John Prine sing. It was just a beautiful thing to watch.
Yeah, no, I know. I've seen that. It's like the Gordon... I forgot what it is, but yeah, it was something that Gordon Lightfoot put together, and there's Gordon watching, you know, like you said, grinning ear to ear with John playing. Yeah, that's very special. In fact, when John Prine got the Songwriters Hall of Fame, I was doing Gordon Lightfoot at the Meyer Theater, and I said, Gordon, can you do a short video, and I'll send it to Fiona, John's wife, and we went down to the dress room, and he said this nice thing about Donald and Lydia being his favorite song, and it was like a 45-second thing he did in the first take, how much he appreciated John Prine, and I sent it to them, and they used that. So
this is so cool. I don't even know if any of this is in the book, but the stories you must have, it sounds like you could create like a whole Encyclopedia Britannica series. Just such fun stories, and I'm just so grateful to have you here tonight. This is fun. I hope the book does great. I'm glad no one died, by the way. That's great.
So it's officially out, and I made it. That was always the joke that, you know, hey, I wouldn't make it to the book release, that my wife would take all the profits.
Oh, that would be ironic. Yeah, we don't want that. Hey, we have about a minute left. Are you watching anything you could recommend, Peter? Do you binge watch TV or movies or anything?
Well, we're a little slow here at the Just household. We're watching Ted Lasso now.
Okay.
So we're a little behind. So that's the new one, and... we just watched, you know, some of the Walking Dead stuff, things like that.
Yeah.
So, and the Disney Star Wars stuff rewatched. So.
Yeah, and you're not really behind either, because there's so much content out there. You can't possibly get to it all. You know what I mean? Like in a timely fashion. So
right,
I play catch up a lot
too.
Especially
when you go to shows three times a week. It's hard to watch that much TV. So.
Exactly. Well, I hope our paths cross at some point, Peter. This was a lot of fun. Thanks so much, and best of luck with the book, and keep bringing the music to the people. That's great.
Great. Thank you so much for doing this.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Have a great night.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's Peter Jest. The book is We Had Fun and Nobody Died, Adventures of a Milwaukee Music Promoter. So check that out. Thank you to Peter. Conrad, what are you doing? You're sticking your finger up in the air. Are you checking the wind? John Mino just walked in. How crazy is this? Here I did. I tease your appearance, and You're already here. Was the event not fun?
No, it's great. Many people.
Oh, really?
Holy cow.
Okay.
Farmers Market in downtown Green Bay. Beautiful night. Oh, they've had gorgeous. So many problems with rain and everything. Beautiful night out there tonight.
Yeah.
Beautiful. It was just crazy busy.
That's fantastic. All right. John will be here next. We're going to talk about Spencer Milligan from the Land of the Lost. He just passed away, and a lot of other fun stuff coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.